Chapter 76. Beginning at verse 1. In Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle, Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. My text is found in verse 11. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Verse 11 again. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. Brother Matthew, would you please stand and ask God's blessings on the preaching of the word today? Amen. Vow and pay up. Pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. It was earlier in the week. I felt impressed that the Lord spoke to me and said, read Psalms chapter 76. I didn't have a clue what was in Psalms chapter 76. Some psalms, you know certain things. And I thought to myself, okay, I'll read it. I wonder what the Lord is wanting to communicate to me. And as I began to read, starting at verse 1, I was reading what David said and nothing really clicked. Until I came to verse 11. And verse 11 is what the Lord quickened to me and said, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. And that got my attention. And wanting to be obedient to the Lord, he not only spoke to me that that should be what I should do, but he spoke to me that this is what I should bring to you of what you should do. By the way, David, who is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this, he knew he was under the inspiration when he wrote it. It's good to know when God speaks to you and be able to pinpoint that and identify with it. And David knew when he wrote this that God was speaking to him. You can make that case because in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Now these be the last words of David. When somebody's getting ready to die, you have a tendency to pay a little more attention to their words. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointing of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. David, looking back over his life, especially thinking of the many psalms that he was inspired to write, now at the end of his last days and his last words, he said, the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. He knew it. David wrote a lot of the psalms, and yet know this, when he wrote them, he knew, I'm being anointed right now. God's talking to me right now, and I'm writing it down right now, and his word is on my tongue. And I don't mean this in a big-headed, braggadocio way, but I know that the word of the Lord is in my mouth this morning. And I'm bringing to you what I know the Lord brought to me. And because David is exhorting not only the people of his day, after he talks about God's greatness, he then concludes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, because God is great, here's what the Lord's telling me to tell you to do. I want you to make a promise to God you'll do something about it. I want you to, that around about him, and I believe that'd be us, to bring presence unto him that ought to be feared. How many know God ought to be feared in a healthy biblical way? The Century Version says this, make and keep your promises to the Lord your God. Not only should you keep promises you've made in the past, but this is not so much addressing make good your promises of the past, although that would be true at any time. He's saying, I want you to make a new promise for the future. And from all around, I want you to bring some gifts and come to the God that we worship. So I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me for me personally to make a vow. I've been thinking about it for days. What can I do for God? And I know also the Holy Spirit was leading me to tell you what he was telling me. I want you to make a promise to God of something you'll do. That's not saying only keep past vows. It's saying make a new vow and a new promise and follow it through. Have you ever received a gift from someone that far exceeded your expectations, and just saying something nice like thank you seems so inadequate? I got a feeling when Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, and by the way, the Lord can love you and you can still die. You can still go through hard times. Jesus loved Lazarus, but that didn't keep him from dying. But when Jesus came and showed up and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came up out of the grave after 4 days. We read afterwards, they had dinner. And I could just see Lazarus looking at Jesus. And I'm sure he felt just giving a meal and saying thank you seemed inadequate. But if anything, you feel like you want to do something special for that person to show your appreciation. And in the same way, as we as the people of God and born-again believers, when you consider all that Christ did for us on the cross and what he still continues to do for us, even after the cross, he's now seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. It feels inadequate sometimes to just simply say thank you. He's given us eternal life, and when we didn't deserve it, and if you look at this past year, I'm sure you'll find countless things that he's done in your life. In fact, it's not hard at any time to say, wow, God is great, and how can I thank him for everything he's done for me? What can I possibly do to show my appreciation to him? Now, fortunately, the scriptures gives us a good blueprint or stories and examples for some ways that we can show our thankfulness to God. In the Old Testament, I love the stories, and there's a very interesting one of King David. Now, I'm sure if King David had to do it over again, he would have done it a little bit different. But David was thinking about back home and how good the water tasted. And David said, oh, that I could have a drink from the wells of back home. And his men, his mighty men, overheard him. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 23, verses 15 and 16, here it is, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, and they drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and they took it, and they said, here, David. And they brought it to David. But the scripture says, nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. I bet those men thought, what are you doing? We just risked our life. And we went into the enemy's territory. And we overheard you, and we got that water, and we brought it back, risking our lives again, and you're pouring it out. But David felt that, no, I can't drink it. And maybe he's thinking, because if I did, then someone else might try to do it and put their lives in jeopardy. But he poured it out to the Lord. But they simply loved their king. They were appreciative of David and the many things that he had done in ruling and reigning. And so in appreciation for their king, they overhear him, and they went ahead and put their lives in jeopardy. And so as I thought about that story and I was reading, I thought, what can we give to our king? Our king who has won so many battles for us. Oh, there's so many stories of what people have done out of their heart and appreciation for the Lord. There was the woman that broke the alabaster box. But then I read this Psalms chapter 76, and the Lord, again, I repeat, said, I want you to read it. And as I'm reading it, you want me to bring you something. And as I mentioned earlier in Scripture, that is something I didn't take lightly. Now, I don't know what they call it. I was going to ask my wife this morning, but I forgot. When someone is going to get married, I didn't see this when I was younger, but if someone's going to get married, the woman, that she'll send out a list of things that you can get her. What's that called?
A registry.
And I thought that was interesting. But I wish we'd get married again, and we can. So I'm thinking, what can we give to the Lord? And we can give him our praise. The psalmist said in Psalm 63, 3 and 4, David said, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name. And we sing that as a worship song, thy loving kindness. But it's kind of funny that we think it's perfectly normal for people to wear their favorite jersey to a sporting event, and they go wild when their team scores. But if you come to church on Sunday morning and someone is lifting their hands during the worship time, there are some people that will stare at them and think they're out of place and think they're a fanatic. But is there a place for verbally praising God and lifting your hands in worship? Yes, there is. It is in order to do so to the Lord. It is a good thing to give praise unto God. You shouldn't be reluctant to lift your hands in the house of God. That's something we can do. And I'm just going over in my mind things we can do. In Psalm 76, he says, I want you to make a new vow. Psalms 116, verse 18, David said, I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of his people. And when you pray to receive Christ as your Savior, and I pray that you have, you made a promise to God that you would turn away from your previous sinful life. You pledged to follow his commands, just as Jesus said in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, of course, we're still flawed humans, and we won't always do exactly as he says, but we still need to be obedient to his will and keep that promise that we made to him. And so I can give obedience to the Lord. And then number three, I thought we can honor the Lord by bringing our offerings to the Lord. In Chronicles 16, 28, it says, O nations of the world, our God is a big God. He's interested in the whole world. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. And therefore give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offerings and come to worship him. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. You can give God your tithes. And that is, somebody said, oh no, you don't give tithe, you pay tithe. And I'm not going to get into the argument of it. Just bring your tithes into the storehouse. That's something you can do. But that's almost like providing for your wife food at the table. That's not a gift. That's something you're expected to do. That's just the normal. And now, when you're a child, it's hard to wrap your mind around the idea that giving is better than receiving, because you're more concerned about what people give you. But as you get older and you become a parent, and especially a grandparent, you discover the joy of giving. In fact, you actually find more pleasure in giving a gift than in receiving one to your loved ones. Jesus gives us another reason why giving is so important to Christians in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. I spoke on this last week. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. In other words, Jesus is saying that it is wrong to put all our hope in earthly treasures with nothing waiting on the other side. Why? Because these earthly treasures that are here are not going to last. I'd liken it to the game of Monopoly. Oh, I'll take any of you on when it comes to Monopoly. But it was so fun buying the houses and or the properties and putting houses on and collecting money, and you want to win. But once the game is over, that Monopoly money isn't worth anything. But can you imagine, you go down to the car dealer and you pull out those orange bills and those green bills and you try to buy a new car? Monopoly money can't do a thing for you in the real world. But when we get to heaven, all we have on earth will have no value if we do not invest it properly. It is true, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And how? By investing into the work of the kingdom of God. But back to this Psalms 76, because I really did hear. We may wonder, why is God telling David to do this? Why, let me go further, several thousand years later, why is the Lord who changes not telling our pastor to tell us to give God something? I mean, when you think about it, God has everything. Why, he can give so much. He's the one that sets the example on giving. He gave his very best. He gave his son. He gave the Holy Spirit. He gives 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church. Romans talks about the gifts the Father gives. And then in Ephesians, it talks about the gifts that Jesus gives to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gives new mercies every morning. You know you got a new gift this morning when you woke up, because great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. He gave you something. So what can I give God? What do you give someone like Bill Gates, who seemingly has everything? What do you give God, who literally has everything? One might say, I would not know what to get them. And that'd be true. I've been preaching to myself all morning and all week, as much as I am to you. What can I give? There was a music cantata we did, several years ago, and it was about a little boy singing, what can I give? And I think he said, I'll give him my heart. But I want it perfectly clear. I'm not telling you what to give. This is for you to decide, just as it's for me to decide. I'm simply this morning trying to obey the Holy Spirit and what He led me to do. And I'm just a messenger this morning. I'm passing on what I really believe the Lord has spoken to me. Here's some suggestions. Number one, again, give your talents. God has not only given you spiritual gifts, but He's given you talents, areas where you're naturally skilled. You might think about that. Number two, you can give your time. Time may be the rarest and most precious of commodities. I'm treasuring time more and more as I get older. God gives you 160 hours each week, and He gives them to you. He trusts you, and He's asking you to use them wisely and to be good stewards of it. Do you surrender your time to God? Maybe you might think about, I'm going to give God a little bit more time for a certain time. Just a suggestion. Begin every day by prayerfully giving your time to God, asking Him to help you, and Lord, let me make every hour count, every minute count. Maybe you might decide this morning to give Him and to carve out a little bit more time. I'm going to vow to do this and give Him this time. You can give your energy. Are you a morning person? How many are an afternoon person? How many are a night person? How many just are a person? Do you know when your energy is at its peak? Plan your days so that whenever possible, you can give your best time to Him. Plan to give God your best energy. You can give your enthusiasm. You can get excited about other things. How about getting excited about God? Jacob, when he was in a difficult time in his life, he made a vow. He said, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll tithe. I've heard people fight over that. I'm just glad he did. Maybe you might decide to witness a little bit more. I'm only giving you suggestions. It's your decision, just as it's my decision. It may be that by giving to the Lord, you're going to fulfill what I believe God is speaking to me and speaking to you. You might decide to give to someone else. Because you see, if you give to someone else, I remember the words that Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I was at Safeway and I'm going to lose my reward right now, but I'm using it for an illustration. I'm conscious of me wanting to decide what I'm going to give God. And this has been continually in my heart and mind. I'm at Safeway. And I noticed there was a man in front of me going to the counter, and he had two little boys. And one, I remember asking him his name, and he told me his name. I already forgot. And I said, oh, that's a great name. And then there was his little brother, and he looked like he was about two or three, and I asked him his name, and he told me. And I noticed the father seemed a little bit withdrawn. And I thought, I hope he's not offended that I'm speaking to his children. And I don't mean this in any, oh, I'm going to get judged either way. This man was an African American. And I noticed he was withdrawn a little bit and was not engaging as I was engaging his children. And then I thought, well, he has his reasons. I don't know. It's not a, I don't know why. And then when he went to pay for his groceries, I noticed that he had welfare checks. And he was having a difficulty paying for them. And while he's trying to pay, and he had quite a bit, and I knew he was being self-conscious, and I didn't want him to think that I was looking in, so I turned away, but I knew it was going on, and I thought, if I was doing that, I'd be self-conscious. I'd feel uneasy and embarrassed. And his little boy during that time looked up at me and he said, you know, tomorrow's my birthday? And I thought, well, how old are you going to be? And he said, I'm going to be 5 years old. I said, oh, good for you. And all this time I'm thinking, I bet the father would love to be able to get his boy something, but he can barely make payment for these groceries. And I felt, perhaps because of my message, I'm thinking, what can I do for God? I thought, oh, I'm going to, afterwards, because I don't want to make a scene here, I'm going to go give him some money, and then I'm going to take him aside because and say, would it be all right if I give you money for your boy? And I thought, Lord, help me. And so he took off, and there was another one between us that paid, and when I did, and then I went out in the parking lot, and there I saw him. And he's loading them into the car. And I could tell he looked, my opinion, he was kind of down. And I thought, well, who wouldn't be down? I told my wife later when I got home, it's hard living in this area. Lord, I don't know how people make it. The rent is so high, and it's difficult. And I'm sure probably lives in this area. And I went up to him and I said, sir, may I talk to you? And he looked up and said, yes. And I said, I am a believer in Jesus. And sometimes I feel the Lord wants me to do things. And I felt that the Lord wanted me to give you some money. And I want to give you some money for your little boy. And the condition is, if you give it to him, you tell him that that man said that Jesus loves you. And would you do that? And he said, yes. And I could tell he was very appreciative, but rather backwards and no doubt embarrassed. And so I gave him some money and $2,000. No. But I gave him some money. And then I said, here, this is for the little boy. It was $5. And then he looked up at me, and this is the first time I saw him beginning to come out of his shell. And he grabbed my hand, he said, God bless you. And I said, you're welcome. And just that moment, I felt, oh, yes, there is joy in giving. Now, is that what you're going to give the Lord? Part of it, but I'm not done yet. Because if you'll notice in the text, it says give presents, plural. So maybe you might decide to give something to somebody else. That would fit the bill. Maybe you might give someone else forgiveness. Maybe you're still holding a grudge against them. You might give them forgiveness. I remember Solomon who, when the Lord said, Solomon, ask me anything you want in a dream. And Solomon didn't ask for something for himself, but what he did was showing he wanted to give to the people, and he asked for wisdom. And God saw that he wasn't asking for himself, but he was asking for wisdom that he might use that wisdom to give to the people. And the Bible said it really pleased the Lord. And so giving to others can do it. So I'm coming down to closing my message. And I'm simply asking you to pray about what you can do to give to God. Can we give anything to Christ? When the psalmist cried out in Psalms 116, 12, and 13, David asked this question himself later. If the psalms are in chronological order, I don't know. But he said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? One day David thought, what am I going to do for God? Now, I hope you understand, and I want to make it perfectly clear, you're not buying salvation. Salvation is a gift. You're giving back to the Lord because he's been so good to you. And David said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? He said, I will lift the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It's not Christmas time, but Jesus gives us the gift of himself, and we ask, what can I render to Jesus for all the benefits of his fellowship? And the answer is, ask him for help. You mean asking for help is a gift? Yes. I love my kids, and I love my grandkids. But I love it when my kids call and ask for advice. That honors me. And I try to tell them what I'm thinking, but they're asking for help. But they don't realize they're really giving to me by doing that. And the reason Christ wants this is because he always wants to get the glory while we get the benefit. Glory comes to him when we depend upon him rather than trying to enrich him. If we come to him with gifts as though he needed something, then we put him in a position of a needy person and we're the benefactors, and that's not the case. He always wants to be the one who is infinitely self-sufficient. Therefore, the only gifts that we can bring Jesus are gifts of praise and thanks and longing and neediness. But I come to this Psalms, and he says, vow to the Lord. Debbie, would you come, please? Over the years, I've heard people say, Pastor, here's something I'm bringing, and I want it to go to this or this or that. Here, I've been wanting to do this, and maybe over the years, 40 some years, I've seen different things people have done. Whether it be here, I want to give this for extra for the missionary, or help the church in its building or a new pulpit or whatever it could be. I believe if you'll do this, God will bless you. He's bound to bless you. I expect to hear people say, I did that. You ever looked at what people gave the Lord? The man who helped carry the cross when Jesus fell beneath the load. Man from Cyrene. History says that he went back. I don't know how they prove this, but it's a good story. I can believe it. He was greatly blessed. Someone gave Jesus a seamless robe. Someone loaned him a donkey to ride in on. Someone loaned him his house for he could have dinner in. And the little boy gave his lunch. And then the woman gave the alabaster box. How many are thinking what you're going to do? Wow, nobody. All right. Would you stand, please? I'm simply obeying God this morning. I'll continue to figure out what I'm going to do. I hope you'll decide. Make a promise and keep it. You'll be blessed. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You've been so good to us. And Lord, I've simply have done what I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken for me to do. It's a personal thing. But they'll be blessed. Could I ask all of you to come forward, please, and stand as a congregation? I want us as a congregation to stand before the Lord and give Him our unity. You may not be able to think right now, but you will be blessed, that I know. I may love Jesus. Oh, I got more hands that time. Lord Jesus, we do love You. We're not doing this to buy our salvation. We're doing it because we are saved and because the Holy Spirit has quickened our pastor and has preached what David said to do that I believe is still relevant for today. And especially when the Holy Spirit quickens it. So, Lord, I pray You bless these people as they contemplate and desire to give to You. What that will be, I do not know. They may not know. But I know this. Whatever we do, You will bless it. So bless them, I pray. Lord, we haven't even thought of ourselves this morning. This has been a message about what we can do for You. And it may be, Lord, I'm giving You my need. It may be that's what I'm going to give You. We've given You our sins. We've given You our lack of understanding. We've given You our blindness and don't know the way. And by that, we honor You. But, oh God, let us do something. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you and don't tell him what you're going to do, but greet him. Yeah.
So wherever they